Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This is truly an epic event that is raising awareness and revealing just how much is happening in the world of embodiment. And this gives me hope about where we're heading as a people. I'm Amara Pagano. I'm the founder of Azul, a conscious movement path of personal transformation. I work with the body and the power of movement to awaken love and consciousness. Embodiment is a key to my work. And the journey of embodying the map of Azul is what facilitates the process of self-realization. I'm excited to sponsor the Dance and Creativity Channel to share my love of movement and to celebrate the power that it has to serve our collective evolution. If you are interested in awakening your deepest potential or curious about the spiritual and healing aspects of embodiment, I encourage you to check out Azul. Everyone is welcome. I work with people who love movement and people who have never moved. Follow the link and you'll find three gifts for you: a 50-minute Azul journey, a special discount on our online embodiment training, and a free month in our upcoming membership program. So come, check out the Path of Azul. I'll be presenting on the main stage here and in the Dance and Creativity Channel, and I hope to see you there. For now, enjoy the richness of the presentation you're about to see.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are. And yeah, the topic for this session of coming to our senses. And what does that mean in this day and age to come to our senses? And for me, there's this notion of embodiment, of dropping into the physicality of the here and now, so that we get visceral and vivid and we can actually live lives where we're real, where we're present, where we're authentic. And I don't know about all of you, but I grew up a Londoner, and there's places I don't want to be embodied, like on the Northern Line with someone's armpit here. You can be deeply embodied there. It's a high level practice. But when I started dancing outdoors, for me, I noticed that it really started supporting that process, that it's easier to come into the body, that it's easier to drop down. That there's something that when I went to a yoga studio or a dance studio, there was a kind of, I'm in a studio, I need to do this right. And there's something beautiful happened about moving amongst the trees, about moving with the sky, about moving with the earth, that brought about some sense of connection. Rather than being, I'm a human with a mind, it's like, oh, I can actually drop into the physical, drop into the visceral. And that kind of set some things up for me. I was like, oh, this is delicious, isn't it? This being embodied on the earth thing. So I started to play with silent disco headsets and to get people to dance outdoors. And I'm a five rhythms teacher. It's like, what happens if we teach class outdoors? What happens if we teach class around a fire? A fire in England, I probably wouldn't do this in the middle of summer in California, just to clarify in terms of that. If what happens if we take our practice literally to the natural world? And five rhythms is a conscious dance practice. And we work with dancing with ourselves, and we work with dancing with others. And then we dance with the field around us. And like getting really curious about what happens if we dance with trees, with water, with earth, with air. And there's something beautiful that happens about attunement in the nervous system, that we can literally listen in. And it's such a good way, I'm sure all of you have experienced it, to walk in nature, we just shift down a gear. To walk by the ocean, we just shift down a gear. So by dancing outdoors, by doing our embodied practice outdoors, we're kind of hacking our nervous system already to already be like, it's safe to open up. It's safe to listen in. You know, a little bit more that perhaps in some urban settings or some studio settings may not feel as easy to do. For me, there's also something about the natural world that holds us, that holds our practice. Like there's the literal sense of the ground underneath us that supports us. So for today's session, we're going to go through two exercises and three kind of explorations, verbal conversations around this notion of how you can set up your own movement practice in nature, what it might bring. So, yes. And I want to start with this premise that coming to our senses means that we're in touch with life. We're not swayed by the marketing, the advertising, the billboards. We're in touch with our own good nature of, do I want this? Does this make sense to me? We're not in flight or fight. We're actually embodied here, knowing what's right, you know. So, yes. Let's begin with where you're sitting. Feel the chair underneath you. Or feel the ground. Feel your feet. We'll begin with this first sense, the sense of touch, the sense of whatever part of you is touching the surface underneath you. And we'll spend a few minutes arriving by coming into the sense of where we're watching from. So feel that surface. And then feel maybe clothing on skin. Take a deep breath, sigh it out. Feel the ribs expanding, contracting. Loosen your jaw. Notice that you can feel that in the body. We don't just feel outside ourselves, we can sense inside ourselves. We have amazing senses. Feel your heart, any kind of emotional tone that might be present today. Listening in. And then come to the visual sense. Look at the room that you're in, or if you're listening outside. Notice the textures, the colors. Notice areas of light and dark. And think about how you're looking. Are you focused directly on the screen, narrow vision? I must do a webinar. What happens if you widen your gaze? Do you notice that something might release in you a little? Smell and taste. I don't know if you've got coffee or tea or flowers. Come into those senses too. And we have our five senses. And then we talk about the sense of proprioception, which is knowing where our body is in space and how our body is moving. So just sense that if you move your wrist, you can probably feel from the inside that the body is moving. If you think about softening your shoulders, note that you kind of automatically maybe wiggle a bit. Notice that you probably know, even if you close your eyes, like where the arm of the chair is. And then this other sense, which we could call the sense of intuition or the sense of aliveness in the body. Put one hand on your heart, one hand on your belly. Notice that we have this self-awareness of like, I'm here, I exist, I'm alive. Feel into that. And keep breathing a little deeper. And keep softening a little deeper. And see if after just literally tuning into those senses, you feel a little more present than we did a couple of minutes ago. So we have this notion of dancing outdoors as a tool for transformation, is the title. And I want us to kind of explore this notion of what does it mean to transform? Because it's a slippery one, isn't it? There can be times in our life it's like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be a different me, I'm going to be a better me, I'm going to be a... And it's extraordinary to wish to self-actualize, to wish to change, to wish to be our best selves. It's wonderful, our human capacity to grow. And also at other times, there can be this sense of, am I slightly discontented with myself? You know, am I wanting to transform to get out of my experience because it's uncomfortable? So I have this notion that to transform, we have to know where we're starting from. We cannot escape our experience. And my teacher, Gabrielle Roth, she's the founder of the Five Rhythms, and she would talk about that the only way out is through. So that if there's something moving within us, something we're not happy with, it doesn't work if we just bypass our way into rainbows and butterflies. Like, sometimes we need to focus on the positive. But we need to tend to what needs tending to in our life and to deal with it. And therefore, as human beings, we need to know we have the resources to deal with what we need to deal with. And it feels in 2020, it's radical to be resourced. It's radical to be like, I feel part of life. I know I can feel connected. I know that I have webs around me. So many of us, I think we all have this kind of this void, this hole in the soul, this yearning for more, to buy stuff, to have another, to get out, to drink, to party, to the little uncomfortableness of being human that we want to escape. So we get to this question of what resources us that we can feel the uncomfortableness. Because if we can feel the uncomfortableness, we can feel the beauty. We can feel the aliveness. We can feel the visceralness. If we shut down the uncomfortableness, we shut down the aliveness, the heartfulness, you know, the ability to really love and live fully. And I'm so interested in how we can love and live fully. So we come to this practice of moving outdoors to resource ourselves, to literally resource, to plug back in. And it's not for me to tell you what you plug back into, you know, or what your faith system is. I know for me, there's something about earth and sky and nature and beauty. There's something about the mystery that I wouldn't care to define more than that. And there's something about a sense of something greater. For you, it may be that what you want to plug back into is a well-attuned nervous system, is the kind of runner's high that comes after exercising. So please hear this on whatever level you want to hear resourced on. But what do you connect to that feeds you so that you can take on life? You know, that we can go through all the things we need to go through. And like it's 2020. It's quite hard to hug people this year. It's quite hard to go places. It's quite hard to go on retreat. So to come back to these basics of being a human breathing, moving in the natural world. You know, we're being asked to stay where we are. So we need to build relationships that resource us right where we are, not to go away and get this thing that fills us up. Yeah. There's also something, I know a lot has been said in this conference about trauma by some extraordinary speakers. And I know that it can be a lot to get fully present within your own body. Like, it's a warrior's path to sit with everything that can arise. When we start to move, when we start to embody, feelings come up, tenderness comes up. So, you know, there are these retreats. We sit on our meditation cushion. We feel everything fully. And that's one path. And sometimes it's too much to be present with what's going on inside ourselves. And it's too kind of spaced out to be scrolling Facebook forever because we don't want to be what's inside ourselves. So we can use nature as a thing to be intimately present, to be visceral with, so that our attention is right here in the moment. But if our inner world is swirling and twirling too much, then we can be with a leaf or the tree or the water so that we can be in the present moment. Things get worked out within us. But we don't have to open to our deepest kind of owie technical psychological term within that. So I really encourage you to get intimate with nature. There's a beautiful quote from Bjork, and she's talking about her own loneliness. And she says that she never really understood loneliness because she always felt that she was in an orgy with the sea and the sky and the earth. And I think that's so beautiful that in these moments of disconnection, we can still feel ourselves part of this world, part of something, you know, part of the web of life. So, yeah. The other thing that moving in nature teaches us, and the last part of this, I'll get onto some practical tools and techniques for that, is that we get to learn about the circles and cycles of life and to trust in that. Because there's this kind of 21st century notion of like, I must be on form, productive, wonderful, doing things, engaged, embodied, marvelous at all times. I don't know about you, I find that quite a lot of pressure. And we look to the trees and we look to the earth and we look to the sun, and we look to the moon, and they're like, sometimes I'm expanding, I'm growing, I'm blooming, I'm blossoming, I'm putting forth new ideas. And sometimes I'm letting all of that drop and come back in. I'm bringing things back in. And it's right to have fallowness and to let your leaves drop. So I want to give us permission to learn from nature, that we don't have to be out there all the time. We can trust in these circles and cycles of the natural world. Change is a constant. And to trust that if we're faithfully doing our work and faithfully being present, we will keep growing, we will keep evolving. But maybe growing and evolving sometimes looks like coming back in. You know, like, oh. In Gestalt, they talk about, you know, the void, the fertile void that we have, this kind of dark place that we all come from. We call that a womb or a seed, or and we begin in this darkness. And then we go, oh, there's something happening, there's an idea. And, you know, we grow, a project comes into culmination and it drops away. And we come back to the void. And it's really important, I think, in both our movement practice and our life, that we're not always going, that our project can come through and then we can pause. So, yeah, that feels important to me. All right, let's do an embodied inquiry. If you're willing to stand up, please do. And if you need to be sitting down, honor that too. And I want us to explore in this difference between our own agency. I'm going to touch something, I'm going to do something, I'm going to dance something. And the receptivity to life. Like what happens, what touches you? Like literally as a piece of clothing and an emotional level. So turn away from the screen if you feel to. Go by a window if you can. Or maybe look at something in your room, natural world, a rock. Find a kind of pleasing place to do this movement inquiry. Somewhere where you're like, oh, I can expand into this a little bit more than the rest of my room. Feel your toes. The balls of your foot. Your heels. And your ankles. Notice the little details. Oh, I've got more weight on my big toe. Less on my little toe. Warm up your calves. Notice how you want to warm up today. Do you want to gently stretch? Or do you want to stomp? I'm still in the house. I want to stomp. Soften your knees. Move your thighs. Bring your hips gently into motion. Soften the belly. You might notice you want to sigh more at that point. Feel the spine, this column of bone down the back of the body. Coming into the animal body, the sense of being physical, of being visceral, of being real, being a creature on earth. Feel your ribs. You don't often feel our ribs. You can put your fingers on them. Like, I have a ribcage. It expands when I breathe. Feel your collarbones. You might naturally find you want to breathe more, like, oh, I'm a little tense in there. And the back of the body. Feel the whole sense of the back of your body. It's quite rare that we locate our attention in the back of the body. And then feel into your arms. And your elbows. And your hands. These hands that reach out and touch 100 things, 1,000 things. Touch all the people we love, the emails we type, the food we cook. Touch your own hands. That sense of skin on skin. And then soften your jaw. And your eyes and your forehead. The sense of, oh, here I am in my body in this moment. As best I can. And this is a practice, this being in a body on earth. It's not always easy to be here. So give yourself credit. Oh, I'm in my body moving, gently stretching, breathing, feeling. And then touch something. A keypad, a rock, some part of the world around you. Notice you have agency. You can reach out and touch. You can engage with life. You can choose to come closer to life. We have choice. If you've got something in your hand, notice the weight of it. Ah, it's a fossil. I can feel the weight. And then touch something else. Fabric. Ah. Here I can engage with life again. And then feel what's touching you. Maybe you've got earbuds in. The other side to the agency, the places where life comes in to meet us. The floor underneath you. And on the level of the metaphorical, feel what's also touching you. What's touching you in this moment? I know for me, I'm a little worried about how certain things in American politics could go. Like, yeah, what's touching you? Where is life impacting you and what effect does that have on the body? And move in your space a little. Step forwards, backwards, sideways. Twist, turn, reach. Breathe, sigh. Notice that you can move with your own agency. We are humans. We can change in our environment. And then switch the emphasis from moving to this kind of peculiar sense of being moved. Like the momentum in the body that slightly keeps going. You're like, I don't know if my mind's doing that, but God, it feels good on my shoulders. This practice of dancing outdoors is really a practice of letting life move through us. So what is moving through you in this moment? I know for me there's a little feistiness moving through me, you know? Like, what wants to move through you? If you were to let life fully bloom through you like the plants do, like the flowers do, what would move through you? What would blossom? What would bloom? Put that in the body. What wants to be expressed? And then we'll come to the sense of sight. Once again, looking around, seeing, human, seeing, change eyes, look, focus, do, seeing, humans. We know how to do this. And look with curiosity. And then explore, what would it be like to be fully seen as yourself? To be fully seen bringing your gifts to the world, in your tenderness, in your strength, in your vulnerability. Like, how do you feel about being seen? And notice what happens in the body. Do you go, oh, I don't know if I want to be seen? Or do you go like, oh yeah? So what is your response to being seen in life, by life around you, by the people around you? Explore that. And then we'll come back. Just move anything that's left to move. Take a breath. Thank you for your willingness to dive into that. And really, this dancing in nature, when we dance outdoors, we engage with this polarity of I'm moving, I'm dancing, and I'm making space for the dance to come through me. You know, yeah, I'm making space for life to come through me. So, there's something important for me in moving outdoors about relationship with life. And not being this sense of hominid disconnectus, of being humans disembodied, but of really dancing with the world. So we'll switch the focus now from the more experiential to the more, how do I set up my own practice in dancing outdoors? What do we do? We work with silent disco headsets, and I work with live music, live DJing, and a microphone to guide people in. There's lots of ways you can set up your own practice. You could set up a Spotify playlist, put your speakers in, and go and rock out on the earth. And a couple of things, I really encourage you to dance in the same place each time. There's something about developing relationship with place, with the same place on earth, with seeing it change through the seasons, the circles and the cycles. We're kind of being known in a place. There's also something that happens about knowing how far the tide comes in or where the rattlesnake lives, that it will really serve you to build a relationship with one place. I know the trackers call it a sit spot, you know, and they go and they sit in nature and they receive. Every day, here I am, human, in dialogue with the natural world, you know, this kind of very animated world around us. And if you want to set up your own outdoor dance practice, like, start small. You don't have to do this big 2-hour session. I'm going to do this and do one track in your garden a day, or one track by the window, you know, looking outside. There's something that happens when we dance outdoors that we kind of get polished. Our eyes shine. You know, we feel part of this world. So let Spotify do that for you if you want. I'd really encourage you to use headphones as part of this practice. For me, I mean, I grew up around the edge of London. There were these big raves in the 1990s and speaker stacks and sound systems. And you know, you could hear the countryside vibrating for miles and miles around. And it was extraordinary having bass through the body. And it feels kind of disrespectful to the natural world, to the animals, to the plants, to the trees, to blast them. So sometimes the beat is an amazing support. The dance is an amazing support. And, you know, sometimes I need the prodigy and I'm like, I just need a beat, a bass line. So you can do that. put your earbuds in or your AirPods in and dance outdoors for that, so we're not scaring the hedgehogs and the birds and the trees. The other thing you can do is, we could call it just embodied inquiries, you know. What is it to dance with the tallest point of the tall tree above you, you know? Notice your chin goes up, your body goes up, you may reach out, like. And to get curious about what medicine you might need to prescribe to yourself. Like, I actually need to become more visible. So I'm gonna work with coming out of myself, coming seen. Or you may be like, I really need to ground. In which case, dance with a rock, with the element of earth, with a thing underneath us. You know, feel the weight of your body as you dance. In embodied practice, we can learn how to kind of to work skillfully with ourselves, to work skillfully with our own inner world. If you know you're kind of sluggish and like that, put on something fiery, cultivate your own embodiment. We can grow ourselves. And the more embodied we get, the more we need to know what we want to grow and how we want to grow ourselves. And in dancing with nature, I'd encourage you to not dance with the whole of nature. It's too big to dance with planet Earth. It's enormous. Dance with a leaf or water, you know, the sunlight on the water or the birds flying above. Because we come into relationship, as Annie Lamott would say, bird by bird we come in, or stone by stone or rock by rock. So don't try and relate to the whole world. It's too big. See the way the sunlight comes through a leaf. We have to slow down a little sometimes to see the beauty of life. You know, we have to, in coming to our senses, we have to take in what we can take in at one time to receive the whole of life, little bit much. So what are ways we can be present to the preciousness, to the, you know, the dewdrop, which if you look in it, has the whole world around in that one little drop. That's marvelous. How many gazillion times do I walk past dewdrops on the grass and not see that? You look at one, it's like, wow, it's like being on crazy drugs. You know, there is so much beauty when we come present. There really is. And feel your kinship with the world around you. You know, feel yourself as a mammal, as an animal, as a creature with four limbs. So that we're building our relationship with the world. The world needs us to be part of it now. I don't think planet Earth needs us to be like, hey, I'm a resource, you can take more. We need to be an ally for nature in this moment. We need to feel here and our connection, our belonging, and to advocate for this world around us. I'm going to read something. It's quite delicious. It's by David White. It's called Sometimes. Sometimes, if you move carefully through the forest, breathing like the ones in the old stories who could cross a shimmering bed of dry leaves without a sound, you come to a place whose only task is to trouble you with tiny but frightening requests. Conceived out of nowhere, but in this place, beginning to lead everywhere. Request to stop what you're doing right now and stop what you're becoming while you do it. Questions that can make or unmake a life. Questions that have patiently waited for you, and questions that have no right to go away. And I want to encourage you to spend time moving in nature, mindfulness in nature, so that these big questions of our lives, of what really matters to me, what's most important to me, can come and find us. When we're so busy in our lives, sometimes we can miss those signs that like, oh, that really mattered to me. Oh gosh, what I really want is. So make the space to hear those nuances, those uncomfortable questions, so that we can address what needs to be addressed while we're here. Okay, I think we'll go to questions. If there are any, I'll just switch the chat.
So far, I'm not seeing any, although we encourage you to come up with your juicy little tidbits to share with us. But I'm actually curious about your perspective on earth versus, say, water, and then your perspective on the embodied qualities of those two. We'll just start there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like the embodying the qualities of those two things and the benefits of taking them in.
Yeah. And I think, again, it's this, what do you want to grow in your life? Because if for some people, perhaps they're very airy and they're very flowing and they're very like ideas, then to literally embody your earthiness, your groundedness, your solidity, your down, your roots is going to be so beneficial. And other people may be like, I'm going this way, I'm doing that, I'm going to get it done, I'm a Londoner, I can do this. So to take on a practice that's more watery in the five rhythms map is more flowing. How do we learn to flow with life around us? How do we learn to flow with a life that's moving through us will be really beneficial. And there's something about that we have embodied range. You know, it's great to be embodied in several areas, but can we drive our own nervous system well? Can we know what's needed? Can we skillfully respond to what's needed in each moment? And I think to know we can have the range to be like earthy, grounded, present when we're anxious, or fiery and outspoken when something needs to be said, or watery or airy or just in touch with the mystery. To know that we have the range to embody all the different aspects of ourselves, to grow ourselves as humans, so that we can meet what the world asks of us. Yeah. I want to say something about how Cassie and I met, because we met with a teacher of both of ours called Melissa Michaels, who does a rites of passage using dance in nature. And these traditional rites of passage would take place with dancing outdoors, with dancing on the earth, with moving through the world. And there is something in a rite of passage where we're asked to belong to a community. We're asked to belong to a place. We're asked to know, to be in service of life. There's this kind of Western notion of, what do I want from life? And this traditional notion of a rites of passage would ask this question of, what does life want from me? How does life want me to serve? You know? So we're not here to consume life. We're here to give our gift and to know what our gift is. So there's something in that rites of passage process and in dancing outdoors with it, of listening like, oh life, what do you want from me? You know, what are you asking of me to step in, to serve, to show up? So, yes.
So I'm trying to just understand. Okay. Where can you be found not to exhaust, but to check in? I was asking. Where can you be found not to exhaust, but to check in?
Where can you be found? I'm not sure if that's a personal question about me or a kind of a metaphorical, like, if you want playlists, there's free Spotify playlists. If you want guided meditation, that's on wildmoves.org. And there's lots of free resources there about setting your own practice. I'm seeing these questions about chronic pain in the body and about how to move outdoors when perhaps moving isn't as easy. And I really want to say, you can rest and move at the same time. It sounds paradoxical, but to be on a bench, and I can see it here as we're talking in the window, there's leaves moving. And if I watch the leaves moving in the light, like there's just a little shimmer through me. You know? Like our dance doesn't have to be this big kind of 60s, 70s notion of catharsis, of moving it all through. It's a real question of dropping into our experience. And if there's pain in the body, if there's pain in our experience, it may be too much to be fully with it all at once. We may need to build up our tolerance. So be in nature and be with the light coming through the treetops or the bird that's flying past. To build up those literal muscles of being present in a body on earth, supported by the ground, gently moving with the world, even if movement looks like, you know, oh, my ribcage moves. There can be a real listening into life that can happen when we feel the support of nature holding us. We feel the earth holding us. And I know sometimes there's a sense of, you know, I'm standing on earth, you know, it's me. But what happens if you feel the ground underneath you like pushing up in a way and soften into that? What happens if we let nature hold us? That we don't have to dance in it or walk through it, that it surrounds us, that it envelops us, that it contains us, and that therefore we're a little held. So even if we can't dance, something's got us, something's holding us, something's holding space for us and our process. But we're contained by it. It feels so important to me in these COVID times that we have this sense of being held, that something is containing us, because those spaces where we used to go to, the retreats, the dance classes, aren't there as much. So how can we feel the support of the natural world? Yeah. Thank you. It's a beautiful question, because I know in conscious dance, there's this like big up, out, transform, big experience. And there's both a very valid place for the moving it through the body and the shaking it out. And I think there's also a very valid place for the, oh, so slowly, like the daring to come into my own feeling, the daring to come into my own body. Like, I want to acknowledge the bravery for all of us on this embodiment conference of getting embodied. Like, it's kind of wild to be visceral and present in the body in this moment. Isn't it a trip in these times? So if it feels a lot when you get embodied, it's really okay to resource with something outside of yourself. But what I would say is choose very carefully whether that's like TV in a pint, or whether that's a leaf or a wren or a robin or the sky or something. So yeah, it's okay sometimes if it's too much inside, place your attention outside. But wise choice. You know how to do that. Your bodies know. Yeah. Any other questions? If not, we'll do an exercise.
We would have time.
Okay. We're going to do it very quick. Okay. So, back to this body, back to a breath. And feel the bit of your body that's most alive. For me, it's my toes, which is kind of awkward because they're off screen, but I'm like, my toes are a little bit boingy. And follow that aliveness. Let that part of your body lead you into motion. Notice that the body sort of knows how it wants to move. And notice that you can follow what feels good. And it sort of opens up some movement in the body. It maybe opens up more movement. And that by following our aliveness, perhaps a little more aliveness comes in, a little more movement comes in. And a sense of connection comes in of like, oh, if I move my toes, my right shoulder moves. That's weird. And then we started by looking around our room. Look around again. And see if life might have got a little more visceral, a little more real, a little more shiny by this practice of being present. And I'm inviting a sense of wonder, a sense of wonder that by dropping into the body and following our aliveness, there's a thread of aliveness. We can become more alive. We can become more visceral. So we can follow that thread. That, what happens if I invite more aliveness into my life? Yeah. So feel that aliveness in the body. I'm going to read one more thing from Gabrielle Roth, the founder of the Five Rhythms. Between the head and the feet of any given person is a billion miles of unexplored wilderness. And I yearned to know what was going on in that wilderness, not only in myself, but in everyone else as well. And so movement became both my medicine and my meditation. And so movement became both my medicine and my meditation. And having found and healed myself in its wild embrace, I became a map maker for others to follow, not in my footsteps, but in their own. And the final words we'll leave to John O'Donohue. Take refuge in your senses. Open up to the small miracles that you rush through. Become inclined to watch the way the rain which falls slow and free and draw alongside the silence of stone until its calmness claims you. So may you take refuge in your senses, my dears. It's a warrior's path. I thank you all for your practice, for your willingness to engage. Thank you.
Ah, someone's asking, what is unique about the Five Rhythms?
Ooh, that's an epic final question. It's a truth-telling practice for me. Yes, it's an embodiment practice, but we're not looking to get anywhere in particular. We're looking to, if we're furious, we move furious. If we're like, oh, I'm delicious and I'm dancing in the rain, we move that. If we move, I'm terrified. And that it's a practice of letting truth move through our body and things don't get stuck. We feel them fully. They pass through us. They pass beyond us and then we end up clearer. So for me, Five Rhythms is a practice of embodied truth telling us to what is. And we build our muscles up there for being with what is and just letting it move through. Oh, okay, I'm tender as hell today. That's moving through. Oh, I'm feisty. That's moving through. So we get practice at letting life move through us. So we don't have to be these little humans doing our own life. We're part of the symphony. We're part of life coming through. So yeah, it feels much easier for me to be part of life and the separate me I have to figure out. Like, how does life want to express itself? How do we live in partnership with life? How do we live in service of life? These small questions.
Seems to be. Anything else? Anything else, lovely people?
I know there's a key, they ask, the embodiment consults for a key takeaway. And I'd just say, let life move you. So we're both doing our dance, but really, what is the dance of life that wants to come through you? What is your offering that wants to flow through you? To not deny your selfness, but to let your own unique self move through the world.
I have another question. How do we live in partnership with life?
Another huge epic question. I think it's this inquiry to live in partnership with life. And I think what we're talking about with that question is a sense of intuition of, I should be offering this, or I could be doing that for that person. So we have to get out of the mind enough to hear the intuition. and to hear what's asked of ourselves. So it's like, oh, what's needed is that this elder needs me to step up and serve them. Or what's needed is, God, this group needs me to advocate for them. So we're not so much in our own cerebral little box. We can see, part of adulthood is giving our gift. We can see what life needs from us. And I think to live in partnership with life, we have to, it's no good saying, can I live in partnership with life? La, 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 life, I don't want to hear you. We have to make those spaces to hear what life is asking of us. And then I think life gets more meaningful. It gets more rich. We're connected. We're not just disconnected. We're part of the symphony of it all. I don't know about you, but I need that sense of belonging in this moment, the sense of being part of the natural world and giving, yeah, of offering what we can. Yeah. So go forth, rock it out under the trees, dance with the moon, the earth, the stars, you know, let it move through you. Yeah. There's permission. Someone... Sorry, Cassie.
No. Finish your thought.
Yeah, this permission to be, I know wildness is used a lot, but permission to be wild, to be instinctual. I don't mean wild like drunken on a rampage, but to be in touch with life, to be responsive, to be reactive, to not feel tamed by televisions and jobs, but to actually feel like, oh, I'm actually alive, that kind of wildness, like to be free range humans, free thinking humans, free feeling humans. That's my wish for the world. You know, we have so much good guidance within us. Like, how can we support ourselves to tap into that? Yeah.
Thank you. Someone was asking about playlists, but I don't know that you had anything prepared for this particular session.
The no music for this session, but if you go to wildmoves.org, there's a link to Spotify, which has about 10 or 12 free playlists for dancing in nature. Do take it off shuffle, otherwise the order gets really weird, but it'll take you through that five rhythms wave, gentle, gentle, express, staccato, chaos, shake it out, lyrical stillness. And there's about 12 for free on there. And I've also got a 5-session series where you can have MP3s of a full recorded wave and some guidance about moving in nature as well. So if you want guidance to set up your own practice outdoors, check out wildmoves.org is the best place for that. Yeah.
Let's see. Does anyone else have further questions? So, in between sessions, we do have the coffee houses happening, so feel free to drop in and chat with others. Who knows what you might discover in the common threads between all of us. It's kind of fun, dancer to dancer. So drop into the coffee houses. And then if you're wanting to be able to take this information in a softer way without being overwhelmed, consider purchasing the library. That's going to leave you a lot more time to integrate the materials, both with Tess and all the other presenters and panelists. And we did this to support you, and we greatly appreciate the support from your side as well. So the link is up in the chat, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your travels through these portals of wisdom, and we'll see you at the next session. And have a great night. Thank you so much, Tess.
And thank you, Cassie, for tending to us all. And thank you, Eloy, too. Thank you.